I invite you this morning to be turning to Ephesians 5:19, and then we will look at Colossians 3:16 and 17 as well. When it comes to the topic that is signed, we know that we are to worship in truth and in spirit. And really, these two verses here, sections of Scripture, answer all that we need to know in how to praise God with music. However, if you go into the religious world, you will see that there is a lot more that is out there. The organ in the worship of God is an ensign of Bel, Martin Luther. The originator of the Presbyterian Church said it is no more suitable than the burning of incense and the lighting up of tapers, John Calvin. I have no objection to the organ in our chapels, provided it is neither seen nor heard, John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church. I am an old man and an old minister. I here declare that I have never known instrumental music to be productive of any good in the worship of God, and have reason to believe that it has been productive of much evil. Music as science I esteem and admire. The instruments of music in the house of God I abhor and abominate. This is the abuse of music, and I here register my protest against all such corruptions in the worship of that infinite spirit who requires his followers to worship him in spirit and in truth. Adam Clark, a Methodist. When asked why he did not use the organ in worship, he gave 1 Corinthians 14:15 as his answer. I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. And he remarked, I would as soon pray to God with machinery as to sing to God with machinery. Adam Clark, noted as one of the greatest Baptist preachers that ever lived. Brethren and friends, I mention these guys. No doubt their brilliance, their scholarship is unexcelled, but I do not give their statements to settle this question on what type of music is acceptable to God. Rather, but I give you this information to tell you. A lot of people are not going to tell you this. A lot of people in the religious world that you will have Bible studies with, their founders, man-made as it may be, denounced instrumental mechanical music in worship. Something has changed over the years. And we know that when you have yes you can and no you cannot, there's only three possible answers before God Almighty. One is right and the other is wrong. The other is right and the first is wrong. Or both of them are wrong. They cannot both be right. They teach two different things. And so this morning we're going to consider arguments that you will encounter, no doubt, when you study the Bible with somebody. It is amazing that in Bible study, this will almost always come up before you're even ready to discuss it with them or to deal with this issue. And so as we answer these arguments, we're also going to see the truth of the Bible and what God's Word would have us to do when we praise Him in music. As I present these, this is what, again, people say. These are their words. These are their arguments, and they say why we can use instrumental music. And so let's get right into it this morning and look at argument number one. Instrumental music is a natural talent like speaking and singing. Therefore, it ought to be dedicated to God. That God gave some the ability to play an instrument, why not use that ability for God? Why not use it in worship as we do the ability to speak and sing? Have you ever heard that argument? I've heard it many times. Because it is a natural talent, it should therefore be used in worship to God Almighty. The fallacy is that the Bible specified singing, and it did not specify any other thing. In Ephesians 5:19, if you turn there, what does our Bible say? Speaking one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. If the instrumental music, and understand when I'm saying that, I'm referring to the mechanical instrument, is as a natural talent, stands on par scripturally, that is equal with speaking and singing, here's a question I have for this argument. Why did Paul specify speaking and singing and not the instrument? He is very specific there in telling us to sing. If natural talent is a principle of divine worship, why didn't Paul specify this? We just all do what is natural. You know, some people, I usually see it in little boys, they think it's funny and cute, but it is a natural talent for some people to belch the ABCs. And so if you're going to take the argument, it is as much a natural talent, I can argue for belching the ABCs and music to God. Oh, Matt, don't be ridiculous. If not, why not? Here's a test of logic. And sometimes that word logic scares people. A word that I like and understand better, two words. Here's a test of common sense. And you build a major premise, a minor premise, and then you have a conclusion. Here is the natural talent argument for mechanical instrumental music. This is how you would set this up using common sense. Anything that is natural is approved for worship. Instrumental music is a natural talent. Therefore, instrumental music is approved for worship. I'll run through it real quick one more time. Anything that is natural is approved for worship. Instrumental music is a natural talent. Therefore, instrumental music is approved for worship. If the major premise, that is, a natural talent is approved for worship, is right, and the conclusion is right, then you have to accept the minor premise. So watch this. If instrumental music in worship is right because it is natural, then everything that is natural in worship, it's natural, is right. It appeals to the natural senses. Now, what does all of that mean? Our friends that are Catholic burn incense in worship. The smelling of incense in worship is based upon natural principles. It is no more natural to hear than it is to smell. Catholics have as much right to incense on natural principles as others would to instrumental music, unless someone can prove that the hearer is more important than the smeller. Now, brother, I'm not trying to be cute here. This is how this reasons out. This is how the conclusion is arrived at if you follow it through. It opens the door for so many other things that simply are not in our Bibles. God has never given a religion based on natural principles. What natural principle suggests the Lord's Supper? What natural principle suggests baptism? What natural principle suggests any part of that system of divine worship that we learn from in God's precious Word? Christians follow Christ, not their natural bent. If natural talent is the rule of worship, then Paul needed only to say, be natural, follow your eyes, follow your nose, follow your ears. But he didn't, did he? He said, singing and making melody in your heart. The premise proves too much, therefore proves nothing at all. Argument number two that you're going to hear in the world. If we can have, let me back up. I've heard this in the church as well. If we can have instrumental mechanical music in the home, why can we not have instrumental music in the church? Some of you may have pianos in your houses. Maybe it was your mother's or your grandmother's or your great-grandmother's. I know several brethren that do. You might have a guitar. That's a real popular instrument. You might have children that play in the band at school, and so you have an instrument that they like and are learning to play, that type of thing. If those things are in our homes, why can't they be in the church? Simply, the answer is this. Anything in the home is permissible that is morally right. But in the church, nothing is permissible that is not scripturally right. Do you see the difference there? I'll give you some examples here in just a moment. The home is circumscribed by moral law. The church is circumscribed by New Testament law. The church at Corinth, that was a church that had a lot of problems. Do you know what they did with the Lord's Supper? They turned it into a dinner party. The first century church, they didn't meet in the mornings like you and I are doing now. They generally met in the evenings on the first day of the week. And so here Paul writes to those at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 22, and he says, what? This is his question. Have you not houses to eat and drink in? What was he getting at? He was making a distinction between the home and the church. Those Christians were doing a thing in worship that would have been permissible at home, eating and drinking. And Paul told him so. But you know what he said about them turning it into a dinner party? That is a Lord's Supper. He says this, why do you put to shame the church of God? Brother, that's a question we need to ask ourselves when it comes to instrumental music. Why do we put to shame the church of God? A thing that would have been right at the home was wrong at the church. Some things are morally right, but religiously wrong. It is morally right to wash your hands. Matter of fact, I encourage it. It's one of the easiest, simplest ways to keep from getting illness, to keep from getting sickness, that type of thing. But it is wrong to wash our hands as an act of worship. Mark 7, verses 1 and following. It is morally right to eat meat. But it is morally or scripturally wrong to put it on the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians 10, 25 and 27. It is morally right to count beads. But when our Catholic friends count beads in worship, bowing to the Virgin Mary, it is an act of idolatry and it is wrong. Should you assemble in the home for the purpose of worship? Instrumental music would be just as much out of place and unscriptural as it would be in the church house. It is the worship that counts, not the place of worship. Not the place of worship. Some have met under oak trees. Some have met down by the rivers. We take showers at home. Should we start suggesting to take showers at the church building? And so you see this argument, once again, when you reason it out and arrive at the conclusion, it does not make sense. Brethren, God gave us a powerful mind. He gave us the ability to reason, to study His will, to understand it. And it just does not add up, these arguments that are being made. Here's another one that they offer. And I've heard this one in the church as well. It is said that they have instrumental music in heaven. And if they have it in heaven, why can we not have it in the church? You're in a Bible study tomorrow evening. And as you're studying the acts of worship with someone, teaching someone what they need to do to worship God in truth and spirit, they offer you this piece. They have instrumental music in heaven. Why can't we have it in the church? How are you going to answer that? The first thing I'm going to do is return that question with a question. And my question would be this. Who told you there's instrumental music in heaven? Who told you that? What could a spiritual being do with a material harp in heaven? You ever thought about that? What are we going to do with physical banjos and guitars and drums and tambourines and flutes? And you put whatever you want in there in heaven. It's a spiritual kingdom. It does not exist. Heaven is the home of the soul, the place where the spirits of just men are made perfect. It's a beautiful place. That's why we're here this morning, because that's where we long to be. We might as well argue that there'll be Ford automobiles in heaven as there will be harps or instrumental mechanical music. Turn over to the book of Revelation, if you will. We're going to look at Revelation 5, and we're going to look at Revelation 14 at a couple of things. And the reason we're doing this is because this is where people go to argue that there's mechanical instruments in heaven. We know that Revelation is a book of symbols. And the record says these things were signified unto John. This is very important now. These things were signified unto John. Signify comes from the word that we know as sign. You ever been driving down the highway and you notice there's billboards all over the place? You know, sometimes I thought, I've never been driving down the road, see a billboard and say, I'm going to have to do that because it was advertised. And I even told Wendy, I said, why do they put those things up? Who pays attention to those things? And then you come across a billboard that says, does advertising work? It just did. call 1-800 to advertise on this billboard. Got my attention. That type of thing. Signs, they signify something. If a thing is signified, it is set forth as a sign. A sign in of itself cannot be a sign unto itself. Did that sound confusing? It is, because that's what people try to make happen in the book of Revelation. In other words, a sign cannot symbolize itself. Harps, therefore, must be a sign unto something else. What does it signify? Among the things that John saw, Revelation 5 and verse 8. I'm sorry, I don't think I gave you the verse. Among the things John saw in heaven were four living creatures and 24 elders who fell down before the Lamb. Now look at verse 8. Having one, each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now turn over to Revelation chapter 8 and verse 3. Revelation 8 and verse 3. There our Bibles tell us that incense was added to the prayers of the saints. Question. Do you add incense to your prayers here? Do you add incense to your prayers at home? They did in heaven according to John. Again, if you're going to reason this argument out, that's a conclusion that you would have to arrive at and say that it's safely so. But let's look at this a little farther. Were there actual harps and actual bowls of incense in heaven? Or is it not a sign or a symbol of something else? Look at Revelation 14 and verse 2. Watch how all this comes together here. Revelation 14 and verse 2. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And the voice which I heard was the voice as the voice of harpers harping with their harps. The word as, it's not only in our English, it is also in the Greek. Isn't it amazing in our Bible study how these little words carry so much weight? Think of the word all. That is a big word in the Bible. You cannot be any more aller than all, can you? If you have washed all the clothes in the house, is there anything left to wash? Another big word in the Bible, if. It's conditional, and we use it all the time. If you do this, this will happen. If you do not do this, this will happen. Well, here's another big word, as in our Bibles here. It says, as the voice of harpers harping with their harp. So this voice that John heard, look at this now in this verse. As the voice of great thunder. You ever been near thunder? It almost put you to the ground and scare you so bad? Keep looking. And as the voice of many waters. And as the voice of harpers harping with their harps. You know, I've been around some flooding situations, and long before you can ever see what you're coming upon, you can already hear the water rushing. Well, what's going on here? John did not hear actual, literal thunder in heaven. John did not hear actual, literal thunder. Rushing, surging water. No, what he heard was as the sound of many waters. What he heard was as the sound of thunder. Nor did he hear the actual playing of literal harps in heaven. What he heard was as harpers harping with their harps. The passage is merely making a comparison. What is going on here? Think about this. 144,000 redeemed from the earth are singing a song. Thunder, it symbolizes volume. The idea of the water rushing symbolizes rhythm. The harpers, as the harpers harping with their harps, symbolizes melody. Thank you, and I almost asked Keith if we could do this, but then it would take time away from my lesson, so I thought, well, we'll postpone it. But use our imaginations that God gave us. And imagine if you had 144,000 people together, Christians, singing on Jordan's stormy banks, I stand. You'd lift the roof right off the building, wouldn't you? And this is what John is seeing. This is what John is hearing. Can you imagine a heavenly group of 144,000? Now do we really wonder what John is getting at? It helps us see what John is getting at, what it was like, what he was witnessing, what he was encountering. There is not a man on earth that can prove there ever was there is now or there ever will be a mechanical instrumental piece of equipment in heaven. Let's move on to our next argument. This is another very common one, and this is how you deal with it. It'll go something like this. There was instrumental mechanical music in the Old Testament. I read one time and I thought it was good. If someone ever presents this argument, brethren, stop right there and tell them thank you. What do you mean, preacher? Thank you for what? That's not a valid argument. Did you see where they went? They went to the Old Testament. That tells you that they are searching for authority. And really, all of these lessons that we are having, including this one, it boils down to an authority issue. When you get down right to it, it's an authority issue. Are we going to do what God said do? Are we going to invite man's innovations? And so they are making an appeal to the Old Testament. And that is a start in the right direction. So how do we deal with this idea of instrumental music in the Old Testament? Well, they had incense. They had circumcision. They had animal sacrifices. All of that was going on in the Old Testament. And so we first need to challenge. Who are we to decide what is acceptable today versus what is not? If you're going to argue for mechanical instruments, then you need to argue for animal sacrifices. And on the list would go. Turn to Psalm 66. Psalm 66, and we're going to look at verses 13, 14, and 15. Psalm 66, David speaking here says this. I will come into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows which my lips uttered and my mouth spoke when I was in distress. And I will offer unto thee burnt offerings of fatlings. With the incense of rams I will offer bullocks with goats. What in the world am I getting at? Well, let's suppose Keith here, young man, someone who loves the Lord. Let's suppose Keith gets up here to the building early, unlike some of us. I know, Keith, what you're thinking. And he's standing there at the back door to greet us, to greet people in. And as he's greeting people in, a fella comes up with the lamb under his arm. And he tells Keith, I want in this church, I want to offer this lamb as a sacrifice to God. Isn't that what David did here in Psalm 66, 13, 14, and 15? That's what we just read. And so this fella tells Keith, I want to offer this sacrifice, this lamb here. And the man insists, David did it, Psalm 66. Keith, being the nice guy that he is, preaches and teaches to that man to rightly divide the word. That we have a patriarchal dispensation or time or era. That we have a mosaical, that we have a Christian, that we're no longer under that time frame, explaining the difference between Old Testament worship and New Testament worship. And so Keith refuses to let that man in with the lamb to offer as a sacrifice to God. And so along comes another person with incense and a censer. And he tells Keith, I want to offer incense to God here this morning. Keith tells him, we cannot offer incense in this church as an act of worship. The man insists, Keith, you're wrong, buddy. David did it. It's in my Bible. See here, Psalm 66. I can do this. Keith tells him we're not under David, but that we are under Christ. That Old Testament ordinances have been taken out of the way. And Keith turns him away because the man insists on it. All right. So now a third person comes up. There's Keith at the back door. He's greeting people. And this guy has got a harp. Well, you don't see too many harps today. Let's change him. He's got a guitar. And he approaches Keith and he says, I want in this church, I want to play my instrument. I want to play my guitar for God Almighty. He knows my heart. He knows I'm sincere. He knows I'm doing the right thing here. And Keith tells this man that we cannot have instruments in the church. And this man reminds Keith, don't you know that David was a great man? A man after God's own heart. The New Testament tells us that. Did he not play instruments in worship? And so Keith looks at this man with the guitar and he says, you know what? I believe he did. I had forgotten about that. Come right on in with your guitar and let's play. You think that's going to happen? He refused the man with the lamb. He refused the man with the incense and the censer, but he's going to let the man in with the instrument. If mention of it proves the use of it, that's what these people did, Psalm 66. Then, brethren, in the New Testament, the non-mention of it proves the non-use of it. That's how we reason. That's the way God set our minds up to think through these things. But it seems to be the way of many people in religion today, doesn't it? Unfortunately, tragically, sadly, I've even heard Christian parents tell their kids they can't listen to country or rock or whatever you want to put out there today, but that it's okay to listen to Christian music. Can there really ever be a psalm, hymn, or spiritual song with a mechanical instrument attached to it and it be Christian music? How did God say to lift up His name? God said to lift up His name with our voices, to sing and make melody in our heart. By telling us what to do, it automatically excludes everything else. Parents with little ones, when you tell your child to do something, do you say, go and do this, but do not do this? Let me give you an example. You tell your child, go clean your room. It's understood, right? Go clean your room. Do you sit there with your young one and say, Johnny, go clean your room, but don't clean the bathroom, don't clean the living room, don't clean the bedroom, don't mow the yard, don't clean the car? We don't do that, do we? By telling them what to do, it excludes everything else. Sing and make melody in your heart unto the Lord. God has spoken. God has told us what to do. When I drove here today, I did not take every road the signboards did not tell me to take. That is not the way I travel. I'm guessing that's not the way you travel either. But it seems to be the way that many people want to. They follow this method in religion and they are assured to lose their way and finding God as I would have lost my way had I followed that same philosophy. Let's move on. Instrumental music is an aid that aids in singing on the same principle that a walking cane aids a man when he walks, or eyeglasses to help someone in seeing. This reasoning is illogical. In other words, they say the instrument helps the people along. A crippled man may need an aid, but brethren, God's word is not crippled. When people begin to talk about aiding God's commands, they wind up adding to God's word. There is a simple rule of grammar here, and it's called coordination of words. Now, don't let me lose you on grammar. You do this all the time and may not even realize that you're doing this proper grammar here. Comparing an instrument of music to such aids as walking canes, eyeglasses, and when they're getting at it, they'll do it this way. You use a songbook, don't you? Aha, see, you got an aid. There's no difference with the instrument. Instrumental music and singing are two kinds of music. Up here is choirs as well. Speaking to yourselves one to another, Ephesians 5:19 means one and all are to be doing the singing. Here's another argument. I'm chasing a couple of rabbits here. Bear with me. If someone is going to argue for instrumental, mechanical music of instrument, brethren, the way the Bible is written, then every single person to be acceptable to God would have to be using an instrument. Only the organ player or the guitar picker would be in accordance with the Bible. Can you imagine the chaos that would be in the church? Instrumental music and singing are two kinds of music. Instrumental music and singing are coordinate. That is, they are two kinds of music. Now, my time's running out, so I'm speeding up here a little bit. A walking cane and walking are not coordinate words, as are instrumental music and singing with our voices. The songbook is not coordinate with singing. A walking cane is not coordinate. It is the thing that is commanded to do. When one uses an instrument of music, he is doing another thing that is not commanded. If not, why not? One who uses the instrument has the same aid as the one who sings. What do I mean by that? This is what they're getting at. One who sings uses notes, either in the book or in the head, or in what's in our head. But you're not offering another type or another kind of music. And so based upon grammar, this argument cannot be used. The instrument is not an aid. It is an addition to the worship of God Almighty. Let's look at another one. It is said that there is no law against instrumental music. And where there is no law, then there is no sin. For sin is transgression of the law. Now, transgression, do you know what that word means? It means to go beyond prescribed limits. If you tell your child, do not leave the yard, and they leave the yard, they have gone beyond what has been prescribed to them. They have disobeyed. They have sinned. And 2 John 1 and verse 9, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, that you may learn not to go beyond the things that are written. There is a law, friends, on how to praise God. Did you know that? There is a specific law on how to praise God. And the law is sing. To go beyond that is transgression. To go beyond that is to go beyond the prescribed limits. To do that is to go beyond the law of Christ. To do that is to go beyond the things that are written. Those verses that we just looked at. And so you have this as well going on. Finally, the latest and most plausible argument that is presented. You have a bunch of denominational theologians that got together and they started playing with the Greek words. And you say, preacher, I don't know a thing about Greek. I don't know a whole lot myself either. But I know enough to be able to answer this, and you will as well. The expression making melody in the Bible is a Greek word that comes from solanantes. If I said that right, I'm in South Texas and may have a little Spanish twist to it. May not even have that. I don't know. But P-S-A-L-L-O-N-T-E-S. And it's a derivative of the Greek word solo. Now, what is significant about all that? The word solo occurs 5 times in our New Testament. It occurs in Ephesians 5:19. And in our English, it is making melody. And then it occurs in 1 Corinthians 14:15. Where there it's translated twice as sing. We looked at that earlier. In Romans 15 and verse 9, it is translated sing. And then in James, chapter 5 and verse 13, it is translated sing praises. 5 times it is used in our Bibles. 4 times it is translated sing. 1 time it's translated making melody. But not satisfied with the English translation, these scholars, as they call themselves, went against the ripest scholars of all time, went against the Bible, went against all sorts of things, and try to say that it means something else. The word solo means to pluck. If an archer is going to draw back his bowstring, he is plucking that bowstring. If a carpenter is going to pluck his carpenter's line, he is soloing that line. You ever go and pull someone's hair? You are plucking, you are soloing their hair. That's how a Greek person or a person speaking the Greek language would use that word. And so we have in our Bibles this word solo. And so they automatically think that means to pluck, and then they assign it a mechanical instrument. There are some problems with that. Number one, you could only then use instruments that you could pluck. Some of them you don't pluck. Some you blow into. So you have a problem there, but that's not even what the scripture means there. Paul commands us to solo. What did he mean? Did he mean to pull the hair? Did he mean to draw that bowstring back? Did he mean to pluck that carpenter's line? What did Paul mean by soloing in Ephesians 5 and verse 19? Oh, he must have meant a mechanical instrument of music, right? Is that what that means? Well, this is how you look at this. Paul tells us what he meant. He said what? Speaking yourselves one another psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making a melody in your heart unto the Lord. Making melody, soloing, and then he says in your heart. Paul qualified what he meant. And if you look at your vocal cords, they are strings. You know, sometimes we have to intubate people And one of the things that we have to look for, we're not even supposed to put tubes down your throat unless we can see your vocal cords. It's a safety thing and making sure, because if you don't get it in the right tube there and it goes to the stomach, oh man, you got all kinds of problems on your hands. And so you can see those white strings in what are known as the vocal cords. And so you think about Paul soloing in your heart, plucking in your heart, using the vocal cords that God gave us to what? Speak to one another. Colossians 3:16-17. Teach and admonish. Brethren, when's the last time an instrument taught somebody? Don't you play it? You don't teach it or use it to teach. And so we see the divine word then. Well, I guess Keith is up here, so my time is quickly escaping me. I was on time this morning. You said 8 minutes. So do I get 8 minutes now here? I don't think that's going to work with them. Thought I would try. But brethren, so much more could be said on this. I was working on this lesson the other day, and it took me 2 hours. If you want more study, if you want to consider more arguments, if you want to know how to deal with this, it can be done. If you will begin in the New Testament and go through it about music to God Almighty, start in Matthew, you will see every time, sing, sing, sing. We have no authority for the instrument. Therefore, to use it is to go against the divine will. It is a sin, and it will cost us our soul. Let me qualify by all that by saying this. I'm speaking of worshiping God. I'm not talking about the kids in band. I'm not talking about someone who enjoys playing the guitar, a patriotic song or something like that. If it is a psalm, hymn, or spiritual song, it had better be in accordance with the will of God. And so let us beg of one another to lay down our practices in the realm and to worship God in spirit and in truth. Thank you so much for your kind attention this morning. Appreciate and love each and every one of you.